thinking that, you know, women had to work an extra 3 months to 10 months in the year to earn the same wage as their male counterparts just completely showcases what is holding women back.
On April 10th, we observed Equal Pay Day. It's a day dedicated to raising awareness around the gender pay gap. Because it's such an important issue and it's so complex, we thought we'd dedicate a two-part episode to discuss this issue. I'm Michelle King, and this is She Innovates, a podcast that shares the stories, challenges, and triumphs of women across innovation, technology, and entrepreneurship. Today, you're going to be hearing from two visionary women, Katya Beauchamp, CEO and founder of Birchbox, and Anne Rosenberg, Senior Vice President and Global Head of SAP NextGen. Katya and Anne are going to be sharing their own experiences and initiatives around the issue of equal pay, and we'll also be chatting about potential solutions and how we can support women as they navigate through their careers. Katya and Anne, welcome to She Innovates. It's so great to have you both here today talking about the topic of equal pay. So Katya, you know, I really just wanted to get started by touching on the recent event that you hosted on Equal Pay Day. Could you maybe share, you know, what the panelists were talking about, what some of the key kind of takeaways from the sessions were?
I think one of the key takeaways is that it's very clear that the problem is both infrastructural and individual and psychological, and that by raising awareness of the issue, we're hopefully empowering more women to overcome what's in their power to overcome and to get comfortable being uncomfortable and to recognize that there will not be success in every attempt that they have, every conversation that they have to achieve equality. Just recognizing that this problem is nuanced and that addressing it is going to come from a lot of different angles, but there is a role that the individual can play, and that equipping women with support first and foremost, and the knowledge that their role is important even in their failures, and hopefully inspiring women to recognize that even if they don't achieve this the first time that they try, that their attempt at achieving it is helping all of us succeed. I think that was really important takeaway, and hearing the questions from the audience and hearing their frustrations and hearing the things that they're just facing as individuals just really reminded me and inspired me that having these conversations openly and supporting each other is such a huge part of giving each other the strength to fight.
So Anne, you know, you were there, right? You were part of the panel. I mean, what were some of the things that you touched on? Could you share them with our audience today?
So I brought into conversation about what if you saw yourself as a business model canvas? What if you looked at yourself as I'm the key value proposition? So I spoke a lot about this because you can say often when you negotiate salaries or just go and apply for jobs, it's important that you understand the value you have. But you also need to be true to yourself, because when you then get the job, you need to make sure that you really, really are passionate every single day about the job that you have.
Katya, you know, you're clearly a voice for women on this topic. And I guess one of the things that's always good is to make the business case for why this matters. So why should people care about equal pay?
It is staggering to understand that women face such a huge hurdle after they are becoming educated and qualified for jobs. The fact that there is an income disparity at that point is just unacceptable. And on a personal level, I just decided that this conversation, this very important historical moment where women are standing up and saying that this will not be accepted anymore, that we're not going to just sit back and hope for the best, that I will make sure that this is something I, in my lifetime, see change. And in as much as there's so many places to touch it, I think equality in pay is something that we can really change quickly, because individually we can change the way women have expectations and then act on those expectations. And then from a company perspective and from a policy perspective, we can work on those kinds of responsibilities and those kinds of infrastructural issues. And if we do both, we can accelerate the actual outcome.
So Katya, you know, you touched on something there about it being personal to you, right? I mean, can you share your experiences or any examples you've had around the issue of pay inequality?
Well, for myself, what I told the audience very openly is that I did not do a good job of navigating this for myself in the early years. I probably didn't give the color, but I graduated college earning as much income as I ever knew my mother to earn. I came from the Southwest, low cost of living. I had a single mother. So I was just, I think, like appreciative, and I didn't realize that I had negotiating power as a young person and that I had something to offer. And I was just grateful and had gratitude for the jobs I was given and the salaries I was given. And I think that is indicative of women in general, this gratitude, humility, empathy, and this feeling of like, well, they must know better. Right? They must know better. They have experience. They know what the appropriate wage would be, especially as a young person, not just for women. So I made that mistake. But honestly, when this became a prevalent topic, thinking that, you know, women had to work an extra 3 months to 10 months in a year to earn the same wage as their male counterparts is just completely showcases what is holding women back and showcases how this problem is becoming this vicious cycle where if women can't earn livable, comparable wages, they're getting out of the workforce earlier because it doesn't make as much sense to work because childcare is more expensive and all of these things. And therefore, the throughput is less. And therefore, there are less women leaders. And therefore, there are less women-led companies and less women board members. And, you know, it is a huge problem for the world that this disparity exists because we're getting half the talent. So yes, on a personal level, just starting to kind of peel that onion was profound and unacceptable. And I just said, in my lifetime, this is not going to be a topic. Like, I refuse to keep feeling like this is a reality.
So Anne, I mean, you work in technology and you must be seeing a lot of apps and websites and, you know, tools that women can use to try and find out if they're being paid fairly or that they can use to maybe ask for a raise. I mean, could you share any information on that?
Yeah, so I want to kind of talk about that from two angles. First of all, today there are a lot of data available that you can look up and get information about salaries. And of course, also to talk to your network and to people in similar positions. But I would also like to bring another angle to your question is that every single job today become a technology-enabled job. Every single industry today, every single company today become a technology company or industry. That means that whatever you go in as, you work in a bank or you work in retail or you work in fashion or you work in healthcare, whatever you work in and whatever kind of role you have, technology has become a thing that everybody needs to be able to master because that is what is going to enable them.
According to studies by the National Women's Law Center, women in the United States are paid only around 80 cents for every dollar earned by men. And research shows that women of color are paid even less. So Katya, you know, pay inequality has been around for years and it doesn't seem to be getting any better. I mean, why can't we solve this?
Potentially, I think because it was somewhat something that wasn't being discussed. It was a taboo topic, a source of uncomfortableness. Talking about your wage, talking about potentially being undervalued by your employer, even if that's not necessarily your fault, it feels humiliating to even find that out for yourself and demoralizing. And I think that making this conversation, although it is an uncomfortable and extremely depressing topic, not a taboo topic, is critical, and women coming together and sharing their experiences so that women that are going through this don't feel like it is uniquely them and it is only their fault and they must be doing something wrong. So I think that given where we are just as a society and our ability to tell stories and share stories so seamlessly and social and for communities to come together in a really scalable way, but now without the friction with technology, it's just facilitated a much bigger level of awareness.
So Katya, you know, a lot of people out there say that this is not a real issue, right? That it's a result of women's career choices or decisions to stay at home. I mean, what would you say to that?
I have so many comments to share on that. I think, I think it really does come down to it being worth it for a woman to come back to work. And I think worth it is both a salary consideration and also a career trajectory consideration. I think it is common that when women are taking time off, that is keeping them from what might be near-term promotions, increases in responsibility. Often that increase in responsibility that's not coming for women, I think could be coming from what could be seen as an empathetic place from the employer who's making an assumption that, you know, you have a lot on your plate, you might now like need more flexibility, and the trade-off for flexibility is career trajectory. And I just don't think that that is a fair trade-off. You know, it's often the case where making that decision to have a family then changes your career trajectory when I don't think it should. So then it's not worth it to come back to work if you don't have the same opportunity, if you have to reprove yourself and your dedication to your employer, if you're not going to get promoted on the same cycles, if all of a sudden it just like discounts what is seen as your ability to contribute, then naturally, and then on top of that, there's the issue of, is it literally worth it? As in, does your salary cover whatever the cost is of childcare? So I think that those are two really big issues that are limiting the throughput of women to higher ranking careers.
So Katya, you know, I just wanted to touch the solutions piece because a lot of people put the emphasis on women just to ask for more money, right? So, I mean, do you see this as an individual issue or an organizational issue? I mean, how do we solve this?
I think that you have to attack it on all sides and that it's not going to be simple. I think women definitely have to be a part of it as individuals, but I also think companies have to consider the difference between a maternity leave and the way you interact and treat an employee who has become a parent after, right? So I think extending the conversation from just leave to offboarding, onboarding, training, obviously company policies around how we can ensure that women are still given opportunities and treated as though they are still contributing members in a meaningful way to their teams, even though their life has changed. And then, of course, like training around that. It is individual for sure, but I think there is a way of having policy around this is how we think about somebody having a big change in their personal life and how we can be empathetic and human about it, but that how we can also still give this person opportunity and a career and not just assume that now they want to be stagnant where they are.
So Katya, you know, do you have any examples you can share? I mean, what is Birchbox doing to try and solve this issue?
Yeah, so what I described is what we do. And, you know, obviously we're not a huge company, so it has an impact, but it in isolation is not big enough. We have a view on what it is like for people who are going through the transition of becoming a parent for the first time. And that has led to our view on a much larger program than just maternity leave that includes offboarding, leave, and onboarding, where we have policies about how to give you the support you need. And then we have training and flexibility just to give managers the ability to handle like nuanced and personal situations, giving them a view of what we've learned over the years and how to be supportive of new parents without taking away their agency and without making assumptions for them and on their behalf.
So Anne, as you know, I always end my podcast with a bit of advice for our listeners. So I just wondered if there's anything you can share for women who may be negotiating a salary or asking for a pay rise. Have you got any advice, you know, that you can give them?
I love that question. I actually also addressed that question in the great meetup we had. It's very simple. There's two things. See yourself as a valuable position when you go into a job interview. Pitch your value. Go in, be prepared, and give the value that you have for that specific job. So be true to your value proposition, but always optimize your value proposition. The second thing is that really find the passion in yourself. The passion will move mountains for you. If you know your passion in yourself, you can reach anything in the world because you are unstoppable.
And how about you, Katya? I mean, do you have any lessons or tips that you can share with our listeners as it relates to this issue?
I think empowering yourself with knowledge and information is the best thing you can do, and assuming that there's no malice in what's happening, there's some systemic issues. I do think assuming the best in people and not approaching this with anger, but instead approaching it with a clear and level head and with a view on what you are contributing as an individual human employee and not trying to necessarily talk about gender in it, but rather talk about your role and what you're contributing and what you are learning as market for that, and what it's going to take with your employer to get to that place and when.
So I think some of the key takeaways from our conversation today are really that the pay gap is still a real issue, and it's one that we can only solve by both empowering women to know their value, whilst at the same time tackling some of the systemic organizational issues that keep the pay gap alive. I really hope you guys enjoyed our conversation. Next week is part two of the Equal Pay series, and we're really honored to have Iceland's Prime Minister, Katrin Jakobsdóttir, join us. You really don't want to miss out on the episode because we're going to be talking about the new legislation that they're implementing and some of the key initiatives that businesses and the whole country is taking to try and address this issue of gender inequality. So thanks again for joining us this week, and we'll catch you guys again on the next episode.
From the Human Group, She Innovates is a podcast created with support from SAP NextGen, an innovation platform that enables everyone, from individuals, companies, partners, and universities to connect and innovate with purpose. In doing so, SAP NextGen supports the achievement of the Sustainable Development Goals.